and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, return of Haters and Ballers at 5:10. It's Haters and Ballers Phil Steele edition. So it's all about Phil Steele. But the things that are a part of his preview that you will love about K-State, the things that you will hate about K-State at 5:10. We'll also open up here with a little... I thought Phil Steele was backwards in terms of what the expectations are for the Wildcats, and we'll explain. I think there is a pretty good explanation for why that is. We've got some fun to sprinkle in along the way today. We'll be a lot of different, shorter things that we will cover throughout the show from this weekend with you until 6 o'clock. Of course, we'll have You Can't Be Serious before we get out of here at 5:50. You can interact with us on Twitter at TheGameKMAN. You can also give us a call, 537-1350. Or toll-free 866-776-1350. We mentioned this briefly on Friday because we had just found this out. The digital edition of Phil Steele's preview for the college football season had come out, and we didn't get deeply into a lot of the numbers here. He did pick K-State tied for third in the Big 12. That I think you can live with, but when you hear that it's with TCU in Texas, that may start to irk you. But the thing that really struck me were his unit rankings. And it's one of the things I like about Phil Steele and the in-depth nature of his preview. You'll get conference unit rankings. Now, if I asked you what you think the strength of this K-State team is going to be, I'll set special teams aside because we know that special teams are going to be good. You can pretty much take that as a given every single year with K-State. Offense or defense, which would you pick as the likely strength of the team this year?
Offense, particularly on the ground.
That is what I would say as well. I think the offense is going to be incredibly complete. We heard the comments from Bill Snyder last week about Jesse Ertz. His arm strength is really coming around per Bill Snyder. That was one of the only real weaknesses you could see on paper of the offense heading into this year. Now, please read me the Phil Steele unit rankings then for the K-State offense.
QB, 7. Running back, 8. Wide receiver, 9. Offensive line, 4.
Then for the defense, I have a lot of concerns there. You are replacing studs at the linebacker position and the safety position in Dante Barnett and Elijah Lee. Your other starting linebacker, Shermichael Moore, is gone. You lost your nickelback, which actually is a pretty important part of this defense. And the defensive line, we don't know if the best guy there, Will Geary, is actually going to be able to play, and there doesn't seem to be very much depth at defensive tackle. Now read me the unit rankings for the defensive side of the ball for K-State.
Defensive line, 1. Linebacker, 6th. Defensive back, 4th.
So the more highly rated units on the Wildcat team, according to Phil Steele, are basically flip-flopped from what we would expect going into this year. Now, on the surface, that may seem very weird, in particular because Phil Steele is typically very good. I mean, he has that page in his magazine that advertises his projections. He is typically outdoing the other magazines. And I think a lot of it is because he sticks to a very formulaic approach. He's got certain formulas, certain things that he looks for year after year to go ahead and predict teams. So I think you can put some stock into this. I do think there is a couple pieces of a pretty good explanation as to why this happened, but I'll let you take the floor first as far as just your reaction to Phil Steele having things so backwards according to what everybody seems to think this team is going to be.
Just very surprised, but particularly because it seems like there are some flaws in consistency here. You know, you don't just look at the position rankings. There are several other things. I mean, this is a magazine that's like 300 pages, so you've got a lot to look at. And one of the things in there, it does list Jesse Ertz as being Phil Steele's Big 12 or All Big 12 third team quarterback. He lists K-State, their quarterback position, 40th nationally, but then 7th in the Big 12. And so it just seems like there's a discrepancy there where he expects Jesse Ertz to be the third best quarterback in the Big 12, but as a position, 7th. So it's strange, and I don't know. I mean, like, I respect the heck out of him, and we're going to have him on tomorrow, and it's going to be really great to ask him about some of these things. But that was the thing that stood out right away to me was QB 7, running back 8th.
And I can understand why that would make you raise an eyebrow, and it does to me. I'm not sure I have a perfect explanation for that individually, But if you're talking more big picture here with the Phil Steele rankings, I think there is a good explanation for why offense is actually rated pretty low when we think it'll be the strength of the team, defense higher when we think it would be the weakness of those two units. I think first and foremost, and this probably carries more weight than anything, what is the Big 12 known for as a conference? It's known for offense. This is an offensive league. Baker Mayfield plays in this conference. He has been a Heisman Trophy finalist. Mason Rudolph plays in this conference. He may be a first-round draft pick next year. Same with his wide receiver, James Washington. There's offensive talent all over the place. Texas Tech, West Virginia, Baylor, TCU, Texas. I mean, they all have quite a bit of offensive talent. So you're going to be swimming upstream more so when trying to project offensive talent in the conference, especially if you're a team like K-State, because comparatively, that is where teams tend to be more stacked on that side of the ball in the conference. The competition is tougher, therefore these rankings are all relative to the league. It's not just based on what K-State has, it's what K-State has relative talent-wise to the rest of the Big 12.
I think probably what it says is that these unit rankings are based more on statistics and less on efficiency. Because I think that at the end of the year, when you look at which offenses were the most efficient, and K-State's offense was actually very efficient last year and then brings back a lot from that, you're going to be hard-pressed to find, you know, more than two or three other offenses in the Big 12 that were more efficient. I think that Oklahoma State probably will be because they're just – they have so much firepower. Oklahoma has a very good chance to be there. But after those two, I think that K-State – is right there maybe with West Virginia as being an offense that they may not put up the incredible numbers, putting up 55 points a game, but they're going to be efficient and they're going to average a lot of points per possession.
I think you're onto something there. I think I would go ahead and lump in more statistic-based and more experience-based, because one thing I see over and over again in his rankings and the way that he does things, like his most improved teams, his most surprised teams, he's very heavy into, all right, this team has X amount of returning starts. So he tends to like a lot of experience. Well, running back, for instance, where he has K-State eighth in the conference, you're talking about returning starts. Believe that would be zero because Charles Jones is the guy starting every game, not Alex Barnes or Justin Silman, much to our chagrin. So there's not a lot of experience there. And statistically, again, not a ton of carries for Alex Barnes, so he didn't have as many eye-popping numbers as everybody else really in the conference at running back there. And the same certainly goes for wide receiver, where the offense is not based around gobs of statistics for receivers and quarterbacks throwing the football offensively. Just not the way it is with K-State. So I would make that prong number two. Prong number one here of the reason that this seems twisted would be that the Big 12 is tougher competition-wise on offense than defense. You know, you can totally flip the script defensively relative to everybody else. K-State's defensive line looks great. They're number one in the conference, only 19th in the country. But the Big 12 does not have as much talent on defense. Number two, offensively, statistically, and experience-wise, you're not quite there with some other teams. And the third part of this, prong number three, would just be that I think K-State in general has more established names on the defensive side of the ball. And if you are coming at it from a standpoint of being a little bit further away, you're not just here in Manhattan, a K-State fan, knowing the ins and outs totally of everything. Now, Phil Steele does a great job, so don't get me wrong on that. But he's going to have a different view, being a guy who has to look at everything from a national scope. And there are more established names on the K-State defense. And really what I mean by that is just guys that have accolades attached to them. DJ Reed was the newcomer of the year in the Big 12 last year. Will Geary has been first-team All-Big 12 before. Reggie Walker was the defensive freshman of the year last year. You just don't have names like that that have accomplished things like that on the offensive side of the ball.
I mentioned that I was more surprised by where he had K-State's quarterback position and running back position and the wide receiver position, which is the worst one out of all of them. He's got wide receivers ninth. But the reason that I'm more accepting of that is something that you were just kind of talking about, and that's how statistically oriented he is and the fact that a lot of the things that we are saying about K-State's wide receivers are not things that you can plug into a calculator. We can say that Byron Pringle really came on at the end of last year. That's not necessarily something that you can just plug into a calculator and will make him look great this year. We can say that Isaiah Zuber has a lot of potential and looked really good in the spring game. Again, not something you're going to plug in mathematically and is going to, you know, come out looking great.
And on top of that, neither of those guys have been first team All-Big 12, newcomer of the year. They just do not have those type of accolades attached to them, which I think is going to skew in a lot of ways how some of these preseason projections go. So I do think there is some logic to how this comes out that way for Phil Steele. I don't think, you know, before you get the pitchforks out and the angry emails, I don't think he really is in general trying to be a hater here. He gives K-State a ton of respect, special teams-wise and head coaching-wise. He has K-State first in the conference. Special teams is first in the country. So he knows what K-State's about, and he knows how those things can help make up some of the difference in perhaps a talent gap at certain spots on the offense and defense, again, relative to the rest of the conference. So I will be interested to talk to him tomorrow to get a little further explanation, but I think we can at least help sort this out, make some sense of it for you if you are confused looking at this saying, why does Phil Steele not like the offense all that much? I mean, you know, think about my broadcasting skill. If you compare me to the talent at ESPN Radio, it's not going to rank as highly as if you just compare it to everybody, say, at media market radio stations in the state of Kansas. There's just a difference there when you're talking about relatively where your skill lines up. And in this case, the offense in the Big 12 would be more like ESPN Radio, and the defense is going to be like the rest of the media market broadcasters here in the state of Kansas. No offense meant to anybody, because I am one of those guys right now here on a media market station in the state of Kansas. So that's really what I'm trying to say here, and I think that is the biggest factor in what all of this is for Phil Steele.
He does have 8 offensive players making all Big 12 first through fourth team. He's got 2 for first team, 2 second team, 2 third team, 2 fourth team. He only has 4 listed on the defensive side of the ball for that. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, he must be a hater.
I guess.
I've got all the respect in the world for Phil Steele. We're going to record him tomorrow. We'll play it back at 5:10. So if you want to hear from the man himself, Phil Steele, what he thinks of the Cats and the rest of the Big 12 tomorrow, join us at 5:10. We'll do Haters and Ballers, Phil Steele edition, at 5:10 today. The things that you will love about his projections for K-State, the things that you won't. But when we come back, a common misconception about Royals GM Dayton Moore. This is The Game.